verses 24 through 25. And if you are paying attention, I read the same verse last week. We're going to start there. And I have several verses listed here, but we're not going to read them all at the start of the message. You're going to hear them throughout the message this morning as they relate to the different crowns of the Bible. Now, you remember last week we talked about Jesus and the rewards of heaven and, you know, what are they and what's that look like? And we're going to talk about the crowns. And there's a lot of people that believe that the rewards will be the crowns that were awarded in our life when we get to heaven and what that'll look like. And then we're going to talk about those different areas of our faith journey and our faith walk of how we receive these crowns. What does that look like as we live life? And so let's begin at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25. And it's entitled, The Need for Self-Discipline. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And that's why we run the race. Now, if you don't, if you're coming in this morning and you're thinking, Rob, I'm not sure, go home and look at last week's message, especially if you're online with us or you didn't make it to church last week, then the two, last week's sermon, this sermon will come together and make a lot more sense for you. And so let's turn to our Lord in a time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you here this morning, as we heard from your scripture, Lord, may you bless this message. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your sanctuary, those that are listening online this morning or throughout the week, Lord, may you bless them in the presence of your Spirit. Open their hearts, their souls, and minds to receive your teaching. Lord, we also pray that these words are your words and not mine. I pray you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. This morning, most of you might know that I was at the rodeo grounds already by Larchwood. We had 7:30 church service, and I had a question for them, and I have a question for you. Now, I know that most of you aren't rodeo people, but I think you might get this, and some of you might know this, but I asked them this question. How many of you know the name of the current Iowa High School rodeo queen? And she's pictured here. Does anybody know that this morning? I didn't expect you to, and that's okay. So what I was blessed with this morning when I was there getting ready to start my message, she came to church this morning, and she was late. As I started my message, she was entering into, it was perfect. She was entering into the grandstand, and I'm rattling off her name, and I really put her on the spot this morning as she came in. But her name is Dally Jo Ortman. She's from Ottumwa, Iowa, and she is going to represent the state of Iowa in the rodeo circuit throughout this year. She'll get to compete in a national competition, and I think she might have already. I don't know how she did. But she received the crown as the rodeo queen, and she only gets to wear that crown for 1 year. She was crowned the end of June. But here's what I want you to now switch paths with me a little bit this morning. You get to receive a crown for the reward of your faithfulness to Jesus Christ in this world. You get to receive a crown that will last forever. Not just 1 year, but a reward that will last the rest of your life. And so let me dig into this morning. And so let me share you, there's two words in the Bible that define what crowns are used for and the capacity that they're presented. The first one is diadem. How many of you recognize that word this morning? Yeah, we sing it in some hymns, right? If you're used to singing hymns, right? Crown and the royal diadem. And what that means, it speaks of Jesus, but it's a place of power and majesty. All right, diadem. That's a one word that's used for crown in the Bible. The second word is the word that I want to explain to you this morning called Stephanos. And so it's a Greek word. It represents something which is used for the purpose of honoring somebody or something. In this case, the crowns that you and I will be given someday when we get to heaven will be used to honor Jesus Christ. It's a crown that you will not wear. Just get that this morning. It's not to bring glory to you and I, but to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And so those are the crowns that we receive and get. And so let me also talk to you about the purpose of these crowns and the way that they will affect our lives. Two things you need to know about the crowns that we'll receive in heaven someday. And by the way, we'll go through five of them this morning, and we'll look at scripture around each one. But the first thing you need to know is that the crowns that you receive from your Lord Jesus Christ for your journey here, walking this earth in your faith walk, they're incorruptible. Nobody can take them from you. They won't decay. You know, in this world, we're often used to decay and rot, and things kind of get tarnished, whatever it may be. But these crowns are incorruptible. How many of you have seen an old trophy case? You go somewhere and, right? How many of you have seen, if you've gone to school, I'm going to use the West Line as an example because that's what I'm familiar with. But you go down the halls and you see the trophy case there, and you look back and you'll see people that won the 1962 Iowa softball tournament, and they have a picture of them there, and they got a batter that was nice and shiny, but the batter's not so shiny anymore, right? It's a little dusty on top, and the clothes that they're in, the picture, they got these huge glasses that they're wearing that was in the style back then, right? And they got outfits that, like, man, who would ever wear that? But in the day, they're in style. But what I want to say is the crown that you and I get, it will never go out of style. It'll always be relevant forever, for eternity, as we glorify Jesus Christ. The second thing that I want you to be aware of these crowns, and I explained this a little bit to you already, and I don't want to repeat it, but they'll be used to glorify Jesus. I mean, you're going to be able to present a gift to Christ for your work done upon this earth when he rewards you with that crown, and I'll explain more in my message this morning. And so you get to present that gift to Jesus Christ at his feet when we enter into his presence. One of the things that I brought up this morning too, how many of you know the Christian group Casting Crowns? Right? You've maybe seen them, you've heard them, we've sung their songs here in church before. That's a Christian artist group. That's where their name comes from, is Casting Crowns Before the Feet of Christ. Everything that they do glorifies Christ in this world, and that's where their name comes from. Just a little tidbit for you this morning. So let me get into these crowns. There's five that we're going to speak about this morning. I'll have a Bible verse for each one. So it's like five little sermons you're going to hear this morning as we go through this. The first kind of crown is the imperishable crown. And we get it from the set of verses that I read you this morning out of 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we work for an imperishable crown, one that will last forever, for eternity in our lives. We live in a world that's full of decay and degradation. You know, this morning I use an analogy, and I use it here this morning. We have people here of all ages, right? But do you and I all look the same? Do we feel the same? And you know, we can talk about how our young children, they're vibrant, they're young, they're full of energy. They can take bruises and hits. But if I was to ask some of you older people in the congregation, what is that like for you today, right? Your body gets a little older, it gets a little more worn down. You might have a few joints that don't work quite right. You might have arthritis in a knee or a hip or whatever it might be. But the crown that I'm talking about here is one that's imperishable. And right now I have some of you older people that are kind of laughing at me this morning. Yep, I get it. I know what arthritis is like, right? So, but in heaven, you won't have to worry about arthritis. It'll be gone. It'll be imperishable. And so you get to receive this crown for a faithful endurance in your journey of faith of Jesus Christ. For those who stick with it, right? Those who endure the hard things of life, as God says, you get to receive this imperishable crown that I want to award you with. So there's your first crown. The second crown, the crown of rejoicing, that talks about 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing is what it says, right? Now think about rejoice this morning. You have more to rejoice about in this life than others do because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. How many of you have had a long, hard, tough day, and when you get to lay your head on the pillow at night in your bed and you just get to just like, oh, that day is over. You ever been there? Right? I mean, you encounter things that you didn't expect. You go through things that you weren't ready for. And they can be good things. They can be bad things. But you get wore out. You physically get tired. And you rejoice because I get to finally rest. All right? This is the kind of rejoicing that I'm talking about here. As a follower of Jesus Christ, when you enter into the presence of God and you're in heaven, you get to rejoice. And I want to use another term with you this morning. On the bottom of your screen, I'm going to use the word holy relaxation. How many of you are ready for some of that? Right? Most definitely. Where you can just say, you know what, God? I'm giving this to you in my life. I want to just relax from the burdens of this life and the things that are thrown at me. And so when you trust God for the things that you endure and go through in this life, God says, I will reward you with a crown of rejoicing. Right? So take a couple deep breaths this morning in life. I'm not sure what's all going on in your life, and there's probably good and bad, and there's stress and all kinds of things, but God says, trust me. Right? Relax is what he says. The crown of rejoicing. And then let's talk about the third one, the crown of righteousness. Comes from 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, we inherit this crown through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is something we don't earn. It's a gift. God's grace that's bestowed upon you. It's an everlasting crown. It's promised to all who love the Lord and they eagerly wait for his return. How many of you had that thought in your mind? I just wish Jesus would come back today. Right? In life. And we don't know when that's going to happen. And some of us are ready for that to happen. And some of us pray for that to happen. And you find yourself in certain situations in your life. But Jesus says, I'll reward you with the crown of righteousness. You just need to trust in my plan. All right? Quit worrying. Get away from those things. You know, and it's hard. It's difficult because you and I encounter things that we maybe don't understand, we don't like, we're not satisfied how it ended or whatever it might be. But this crown is rewarded to us because you trust in the plan even though you don't understand. And that's okay. That's okay. God says, just keep trusting me, keep following me. The crown of righteousness. The fourth crown is the crown of glory. I'm going to try to paint you a pretty good picture here of what this will look like. 1 Peter 5, verse 4 is where this comes out of Scripture. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away, is what it says. Now, Peter is addressing the elders in the church here. And so I want you to get this picture, get this image in your head. This is also going to be something that you and I will be rewarded with for our faithful walk of Jesus Christ in this world. And so, you know, how many of you look forward to seeing Jesus one day? Right? Yeah, we all do. Face to face, we get to see Jesus. Now, let me paint you a picture of what that day might look like in your mind. And it's hard to get that because I don't have good earthly words for you and I to understand this or to comprehend this in our life. But what I will give you is an example that from Scripture that will give you an idea of what this could be like. How many of you remember who the first martyr was in the Bible? Speak it up, you know it. Stephen, exactly. He's the first martyr in the Bible. If you want to see this story, you go home and read Acts chapter 7, verses 55, somewhere in there. And he's getting, So he's getting persecuted. He's being a martyr for Christ. He's going to lose his life. And then all of a sudden, God gives him this glimpse of his glory in heaven. He opens up heaven for Stephen to see. And he looks in while he's getting beaten. He sees the glory of Jesus Christ. And he puts his picture on, his eye on there. He sees what's to come when he leaves this world. And he's just like, you can't believe it. That's where I want to be. This doesn't matter. I don't care how hard you stole me or how hard you beat me. You got to see that. That glory is what he's thinking, is what he's seeing. And I think that's the glimpse that you and I need to understand and get, that when we see the glory of Jesus Christ, I don't have words to explain it. The crown of glory in its presence. I don't know how to explain it to you better than what Stephen saw in the book of Acts of what that day will be like for you and I. Did you know that you are so blessed to enter into the presence in the kingdom of heaven as a dearly loved child? How many have children that are no longer in your home? All right? How many of you love it when that child comes home to visit you? Just a few of you. All right. So we'll have to do some family therapy along the way here. Okay? So like, whew, I'm so glad that kid is gone for a while, right? And I get that. Sometimes that has to happen too in life. But when they leave your home and they go to college or they get married and they start a family of their own, but when they come home from Sunday dinner, when they come home during the week, whatever it is, and they get to sit around your table and you get to share life with them, you are excited, aren't you? My child's home. I get to visit with them. I get to see them because you love them. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus gets to sit down and talk with you face to face because you are finally home? Amen to that? That's the glory of Jesus Christ that you and I will get to experience. He's going to be so excited to see you. And you're going to be even more excited to be there with this crown of glory. Stephen the martyr gives us that glimpse of the glory. He couldn't wait to get there. Even to death, he was ready to die for the glory of Jesus Christ. The crown of glory. So may you look forward to that crown. The fifth and the final one is the crown of life. Every believer receives this. Of course, we know that it's eternal life. It comes out of Revelation 2, verse 10. It says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now, even though all believers receive this crown, those that endure suffering in the name of Jesus Christ, those who endure persecution in the world as they serve Christ, whether it be missionaries or wherever it might be throughout the world, they're going to especially enjoy this crown because they'll be rewarded for the things they had to go through in this life upon this earth. The crown of life. In Scripture, the word life is often used to show a relationship, right? That we live in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we're right with God, we live that kind of a life. Now, let me read you a Bible verse this morning. You'll know it, John 10, verse 10. I want you to finish it. "I have come that they may have life." Do you see that? The crown of life. And then let me finish that verse for you this morning. That, and then you finish the last word for me. "That they may have it more abundantly." How many want abundance in your life? Right? This is what Jesus is talking about. The crown of life. The abundance that you and I are going to see in heaven, it's going to be amazing. I mean, you will be overjoyed. It'll be overflowing. Some of your loved ones already see some of that. They're already experiencing some of that. They're already experiencing the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think they have their crowns yet because that's going to come on that judgment seat of Christ that I talked about here last week, right? The Bema seat. Remember that as I spoke to you last week? That's when God will say, you know, whoever it might be, put a name in, fill in the blank, but God, Jesus is going to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I thank you for sharing Jesus Christ with your neighbor, with your co-worker, and allowing them to come into the family of Christ. And I realize the Holy Spirit does all that kind of work, but yet you are part of that. And Jesus will reward you for that, for the work that you do for his kingdom here upon this earth. "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly. There's another word, if you're used to different types of scripture here. It talks about, I have come that they may have life to the fullest, right? You may be familiar with that. I've come that they may have life to the fullest as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one warning this morning. Revelation 3, verse 11 says, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have, that no one will take your crown. And he's talking about all the crowns in Scripture that I talked to you this morning. We have a warning that we need to protect and you need to guard those crowns that you and I have worked for in the name of Jesus out of gratitude for Christ. But we have to be careful that we don't lose that crown. It's pretty sobering words when you think about that this morning when he says, hold on, so that no one will take your crown. Keep doing the work of Christ, because there's one in the world that will try to distract you, will try to destroy you, that will try to take your joy away, that will try to take the glory of Christ away, and that's Satan. He's going to try to turn your life upside down and make your life a mess. And maybe you find yourself there, and there's hope, and there's redemption, and there's grace in Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, hold on to what you have. Guard it, protect it, take care of it. And here's how you do that. Guarding your crown means that we look carefully to your own walk in Jesus. How are you doing? What's that looking like? Are you living the way how you're supposed to? And I know you have weaknesses and you have temptations, and God's grace and forgiveness covers all that when we ask. But how are you doing? What are you protecting in your life? What's that looking like? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in His Word, soaking in the richness of what He's trying to teach us and what He's trying to tell us in life, that you can receive the reward? I just want to touch on just a couple things here as we finish up. Remember what these crowns are for. So I've told you about these five crowns this morning. You don't get to wear them. It's not for your honor, but it's for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. Someday when you get rewarded this crown, it talks about it in the book of Revelation, where the 24 elders seated around the throne, they fall to their knees and they take their crowns and they set them at Jesus' feet for the things they did. I want you to think about the ministry that God has you involved with. I mean, he has us in all kinds of different things, right? It's just not me as a pastor or you as a Sunday school teacher, but it's throughout your life, the things that God calls you to do in ministry. How great will it be that you can take your crown and you can present it as a gift before Jesus' feet for the ministry that you did for him upon this earth? That's the gift that you get to bring to Christ. That's quite a day. And make sure that you have a gift, right? And as a believer in Jesus Christ, I've already told you, you have at least one, the crown of life. And many of us will have multiple crowns because we trust in him. We want to see his glory. We want to see his appearing. All those things happen. And you get to throw those at his feet in honor of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So protect what you got. Hold on to that crown, that nobody takes it from you. And may you hear this. Rejoice today in the Lord, because we got a lot to celebrate. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've learned this message about these different crowns in Scripture, we don't hear of these often, Lord, but your Bible explains these different crowns for those who live this life of faith upon this earth. Lord, it's your goodness that we're covered by. Lord, we look forward to that day when we can sit before you, kneel before you, and we can present our gifts to you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your love for us. We thank you that you went to the cross, Lord, and that you died for our sins. Lord, may your blood just continue to wash over us, and may we follow you all our days. In Jesus I pray, amen.